Next case.
Case number 13075, Michael Motion seeks variances from the separation distance requirements for proposed structures. Section 11550, 115182, 115183, and 115188 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the south side of Sandy Point Road within the Bahamas Beach subdivision. The 911 address is 632 Sandy Point Road, Bethany Beach. The zoning district is HR2. The tax map is District 134, Map 17, Parcel 44, Unit 26. The applicant is seeking a 21.6-foot variance from the 40-foot separation requirement between units, and we have zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail return.
Good evening. My name is James Churchman. I'm an associate attorney over at Brock Sidman Dallas Federico. I am here representing the applicant, Mr. Michael Motion. He's sitting right over here with me. I just have one quick note for the board. As I'm sure you guys can see on the record, there were two applications filed. That is because of the unique circumstances in this situation. It's not governed by a setback requirement. It's actually a 40-foot distant requirement due to the nature of the community. I just wanted to clarify for the actual variance being requested. I believe it should be 16 feet. When you look at the actual property itself, so this is the survey of the property with the proposed structure. If you can see right here, that is the distance between the parcel to the right and then the proposed structure right here. When you add together the distance between the proposed structure and the other parcel, as well as the proposed structure, the square foot, the footage actually comes out to, but I believe it's just over 34 feet. So the distance between the units itself, there, it doesn't even comply with the code requirement. So I was a little unsure of the exact variance that would be required here. I just wanted to confirm prior to starting the application, I believe it would be 16 feet.
Well, I think that it's a 40-foot separation distance.
Yes.
So what you're looking at there is 18.4. So we subtract 18.4 from 40, and that's where we get the 21.6.
Yes, and that's what I did. That's why I was kind of half and half, and I wanted to clarify on the board's position.
Yeah, I think that's what staff and I were looking at, correct?
Correct. Yeah. All right. I just wanted to clarify that moving forward, and just in case of any confusion. Alrighty, so starting out, the applicant, this is his second home. He lives up in Pennsylvania, but the reason for this application and the variance is he would eventually like to move into this property as his primary residence, have his family come down, and realistically, more space is needed. The applicant, he purchased this property back in 2020. He didn't build it. I believe it was built around 1993, right around when the development was created. The zoning is HR2. The community itself, if I can. All the way to the bottom. All right, here. So this is the property itself. The unique situation about this community is there's clusters of these condos, and they're considered multi-family units. They're generally grouped in like three or four. If you can see by this picture right here, this is the applicant's condominium. This right here, that is connected by a shed in the back. If you scroll down here, that's another one. Let's go. And right there is where the proposed structure will be. There's a tree right there, and there is the neighboring unit. This is a part of the application from one of the previous variances that was granted in this community. I believe it was back in 2020. I'm showing this to illustrate to the board. As you can see, these units are clumped together, and that's why I'm going to refer to them as the multifamily units. That's kind of the scheme here, and it creates a situation where the side yard setbacks or front yard setbacks are not applicable except to the exterior parcels of the property. I'm also going to be referring to the lot as a lot. It's actually a limited common area, but I'm gonna call it a lot for the sake of moving forward easier. And then this is just a snapshot of the whole community itself, I believe. The parcel in question, it's right over there on Sandy Point Road. As you can see, this is one of the earlier plat maps. Not everything is filled in yet. There obviously is a home right over as well as over here too. There, I believe it's a three clump cluster of the condominiums. So the initial reason, as I said, is Mr. Moishin, he's going to eventually move down to have this as his permanent home. He has family that comes down, his parents, his sister, their husband. The current unit itself, I did the math, it is around 800 to 850 square feet. It's a two bedroom with 1.5 bathrooms. So if you have all the family down, someone is sleeping on the couch. And that is not conducive to reasonable use of a property. The proposed addition is going to be about 16 by 24. That's right around 380 square feet. So as you can see, the proposed addition is going to mirror the original condo itself. It's going to stay with the color, about the same size. It's going to be right over there. And the original stairs are along the side of the building. They're going to be moved to the front. And there's going to be a little bit of the extension of the front deck area. But this right here, it's about 380 square feet or so. The lot itself, it's on the smaller side from the lot. I went through the community itself, and it looks like the square footage of these lots range anywhere from about 2,000 square feet to up to 4,500 on some of the larger ones. This one's just under 2,300 at 2,298 square feet. And let's see, there we go. Now I am going to move on forward to the variance criteria, unless there are any questions about the specifics of the construction. Alrighty, so the uniqueness of the property. This property is unique. I'm gonna move back over to the survey. As you can see here, it's a slightly squarish shaped lot. There's a couple abnormalities with it. Right over here, there's a 90 degree turn with the lot. And as you can see also, that's the shed. It connects to that other parcel, or to the other unit. That's why it's kind of over the lot line. That's what creates that multifamily structure here. And then coming down here, you have the lot curving along with Sandy Point Road, and then kind of shifts over as well and creates a abnormal lot, which is on the smaller side as well. Due to the uniqueness of the property and this situation, oh, sorry about that, got ahead of myself. All right, the applicant's lot has a shared border, again, with that other unit on the multifamily side. And then there's a bit of grass area. As you can see, there's a bit of a fence here from the picture I showed, and then some grass and a tree over there. Next, cannot otherwise be developed. The physical circumstances of this lot are paired with the restrictions, the 40-foot distance requirement between multifamily units, create no possibility that this property can be developed in strict conformity with the applicable zoning code. Due to the uniqueness and situation, the lot itself is irregular, and it is significantly limited by the separation distance requirements, and that is a bit of an understatement. If you were to go with the applicable distance requirement, you would not be able to build at all on that property. As you can see, it's not even 40 feet, so it renders any development of the property inapplicable. These structures on the neighboring lands were not placed there by the applicant. The applicant himself, he didn't build this house. As I said, he purchased it back in 2020. He hasn't made any additions except for this proposed addition so far. The unnecessary hardship and exceptional practical difficulty were not created by him. As discussed above, this property itself has unique conditions due to the shape of it, as well as the unnecessary hardship created by that 40-foot distant requirement. Those limitations significantly shrink the building envelope of the property itself. And that was number three, by the way. The unnecessary hardship was not created by the applicant. This will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. As you've seen with the proposed structure, the drawing, it comes within the same color as well as about the same shape of the original condo itself. The proposed structure will not substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use of the development of the adjacent property. The applicant has discussed the proposed structure with his neighbor on the side where the construction will be. There was no opposition. There was some discussion because there's a tree that's between the two parcels. There's a bit of confusion over whether it's on someone's land or not. There might need to be a survey done in the future. But the discussion ended with, and the applicant can confirm this when he comes up, that he would take care of any issues with the tree during construction. The minimum variance. The applicant is requesting a 21.6-foot variance from the 40-foot distance setback between the building requirement. This would be the minimum variance requirement that he would need to, and it will represent the least modification possible. This was a bit of a unique part of the criteria here because, quite frankly, any building seems like the least possible modification because you can't build at all on this property. So if there's no questions about the criteria themselves, I have a couple cases I'm gonna bring up to the board. I have a bit of a little packet here for you guys because it's a little hard to read on there. So any questions on the criteria? All right.
Well, Mr. Churchman, while you're pulling that together, I do have some questions about the criteria. And looking at the diagram that you proposed, the opening with the proposed addition, was there any consideration given to building a smaller addition than the one that has been proposed? And the reason I say that is that I have a degree of concern with the requirement that we have on the standard that the difficulty is not being created by the applicant, and yet the proposal shows a proposed plan by the applicant, which is the reason that we're here having the discussion.
I understand that. So the applicant has discussed creating a potentially a smaller thing, and I believe I won't speak for him specifically. He can answer that when he comes up. I believe there may be some wiggle room. This is only a proposal. There haven't been any substantial building set up yet. But the reason for the current proposal is it will provide, I believe, one more bathroom, a bedroom, and a living space, which will facilitate his family coming down, and they will be able to reasonably use the property as you are allowed to when you develop a property. And unfortunately, that 40-foot requirement impedes any building whatsoever.
Thank you.
Of course. All right. So what I have right there, these are all in the record already, but the first page is just a snapshot of the parcel itself. As you can see, that is the whole community, as well as I have numbered, apologies for my handwriting, I understand it can be sometimes hard to read. I have numbered 1 through 5, the previous approved variances in this community that I will go through. I have also put a star on the applicant's property so you guys can get an idea of where it's located. And then if you look in the top left-hand corner of each of the findings of fact, I've shown a number that is corresponding to each of the properties on the map. I figured that was the most helpful way so everyone can go through, because quite frankly, I have trouble reading over there. All right, so moving forward to the first case. So this was done back in October of 2008. There's two of them, and while the records aren't on the county site anymore, I found the finding of fact in a 2020 application. So on 604 Darby Lane, Kenneth Mills, there was a 9-foot variance from the 40-foot separation required that was granted for a proposed sunroom as well as a deck. And that,
yes. The first three that I see on this list, case number 10273, 10282, and 10346, I question whether they have any probative value. Court can certainly weigh that. But all three of those cases came out before the Verlasson case, which changed how this board has to review standards for granting a variance. So I just want to let you know that in looking at those, because those came, there's a significant shift in how the Supreme Court viewed our standards and beginning in 2012. So you can certainly present them, well, the board can entertain them, but I'm not sure how much weight the board should give to that.
I appreciate your consideration, Mr. Sharp. So the good thing about that is there are multiple cases that I have that are after that 2012 ruling, as well as they are consistently in line with the rest of the variances that have been granted in this community. Moving on next to 618 Freeport Boulevard, that was a 10.7-foot variance granted, again, for a proposed deck and screen porch. And then 600 Arthurstown, that was Ricky Schaefer, that was in 2009. That was a 2.33-foot variance for the 40-foot separation requirement for an addition that was constructed, and they found out that the steps encroached, so they needed a variance. And then we can move on to the more recent cases that are then more applicable. So 2014, Susan Thompson, on 611 New Providence Road, there was a 2.5-foot variance from the 40-foot separation requirement for a proposed set of steps, and then a variance of 3 feet for an existing screen porch. And I want to draw the attention of the board to number four there, Susan Thompson's case. If you look at the findings of fact, we can find that this case was similar to Susan Thompson's. She also had issues with where family was moving down to the property, and it was smaller than she was able to reasonably use, so the board granted that. And I believe the findings of fact, she stated that the existing dwelling, I'm looking at number three right there on the findings of fact, the existing dwelling is too small for her growing family, and the additional space will be a family room. That was granted back in 2014. To our final case, we have 602 Arthur's Road. That is Stephen Staniszewski. I apologize for my pronunciation. That was the most recent one. It was a 10-foot variance from 40-foot separation requirement for a new deck. And that was also approved. And as I mentioned, Susan's case had an issue, or had a likeness to growing concerns about space for family coming down. Stephen's case elaborated on the uniqueness of the property. If you look at the findings of fact on Stephen's case, it is stated that the property as a whole, these lots themselves are unique. The lot lines themselves are odd, and these conditions create a unique, odd building envelope. And obviously, each of these parcels are unique, but I found that that was an important piece of information as well.
Mr. Churchman, while we're on that subject, did you, by chance, in your review, have the site plan for that case?
Oh, for the final one?
I didn't see that in your packet. Maybe I missed it. But my recollection was that that case, that property looked like a piece of a Jenga. It was multiple 90-degree turns, and it was almost as though the other property was like a Z shape. I seem to recall that. I could be wrong, but I didn't know if you had that in your record. If not, we could probably find it if the board.
I believe I submitted the whole application. That is for the 2020 case.
The Staniszewski?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
I have some questions.
course.
I'm very familiar with this area. This addition, we talk about uniqueness, and then you go and compare it to something. That's not unique to me. It can be unique to whatever. We're talking the same neighborhood now. So I have a problem with that. I also have a problem with the exceptional practical difficulty not being created by the applicant. This home as it stands right now is a home that, granted, is probably not big enough for people to come down and use. But the that exceptional practical difficulty of needing more space in this home is created by the applicant, in my opinion. Again, I know these homes are small. I know the lots themselves create unique situations, but it's not unique to the community. And you cited some cases since 2009. There's a ton of homes in there that are dealing with the same situation you are and not creating issues like that. The third thing I'm going to go into is you've mentioned all these variances and all distances. You are more than double than the highest one. So that I have, for those reasons, I have big problems, and I would need to have that explained to me on how I feel comfortable granting this.
I understand, and of course I will also let the applicant speak briefly on that, but to that point, I will first discuss the uniqueness. I find that this parcel in particular, just speaking on the lot lines itself, is unique to the parcels around it. It's on the curve of Sandy Point Road as as you can see, it's on a curve, and while the home is centered over on, call it the left side, there really is only one spot where any development could occur, and due to the setback requirements, no development can occur. And while I understand it is double the amount, I believe, and I won't speak for the applicant, there may be some wiggle room on the exact amount that would be requested, but I want to really focus the attention on the board that any reasonable development of this property is just impossible with this requirement. There isn't even 40 feet between these two buildings. So in of itself is unique. I'm dealing with another property in this community where they do not have this situation based on a location. So I would argue that does make it unique. Any other questions? All right.
Thank you.
Of course. So, before I bring up the applicant, and I apologize if this is not the exact time for it, but I do have a proposed finding of fact. I'm going to do that before the applicant speaks, Seth, if that is all right.
Sure. I do have one more question.
Of course.
Looking at the picture, there's a high voltage power. It looks like it would be almost in line with where your poles or what have you will be set. How do we know where that power runs?
Are you talking about this right there? Mouse right there on that top right-hand corner.
Yeah, right around there. It would be back further towards the addition, the front, in the front of the property. Back is.
Right around there.
Kind of right where the curve is, right between the driveway, between the two driveways, is where there's a power unit. Do we know where that power runs? Does it run between? Have we examined that?
So we're still in the early stages. I understand that the applicant is working with Excel, and if there are requirements for the power, that can be addressed if needed.
Mr. Churchman, and this might be a question for staff. So you mentioned the shed and the connection to unit 25 to the left. Is that Is that something that should be addressed, or do we have the authority to address or even have a conversation about?
Due to the nature of the multifamily use of this property, it's part of the next unit over as well, so we don't need to discuss it in this.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't need to be addressed for any.
Thank you.
Thing. Yeah.
Alrighty, I'm bringing this up. Alrighty, if there are no more final questions, I am going to bring up the applicant to be sworn in and affirm that everything I said is true and correct.
Thank you.
Right, you can come on up.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
I'm Michael Motion, 9 Pinewood Drive, Wolfsbury, PA. Address is 633 Sand Coin Road.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Motion, do you affirm that everything I said is true and correct?
I do.
All right, and then if the board has any questions specifically for the applicant, I'm sure he'll be happy to answer them.
I've got one. So, Mr. Churchman, several times you had stated that there was wiggle room, and this was the sort of the beginning phases of planning. So what exactly is that wiggle room? I mean, I think that our job here is to find the variance, the minimum variance that we could work with. So just sort of wondering what that wiggle room is.
Of course, I'm going to direct that to the applicant too.
I mean, ultimately, I would want the addition to be something that would provide for it to be a family home, right? So if we're looking at an extra 380 square feet as it is, it's not a ton of extra space, but it's bathroom, not for some extra storage space, considering the size of the unit is now. I would like it to be at that, right? That's, you know, as far as the property goes, as far as the fence lining goes, and that would be, for me, ideal in terms of my specific circumstances right now. If a drop was required because of whatever circumstances, I would entertain it, right? Because ultimately what I'm looking to do is...
Mr. Motion, I'm gonna interrupt you right here. The board doesn't negotiate. It's not a negotiation here, so it's not like we're offering something. You have to prove one of your standards is that this is the minimum variance to afford relief. In other words, if you fail to prove that, this board has the right, in fact, the duty to deny it. So I think Mr. Hastings' question is that what is your attorney had alluded that there may be some wiggle room on the size, and I think the clarification is there wiggle room, and if so, what would that be the minimum variance to afford relief?
Okay. 24 by 12, 12-foot variance then, 12 feet from, an extra 288 square feet. Probably be enough to get an extra bedroom, an extra bathroom. It would be tough in terms of some other space and making it livable, but.
So using that, by my calculations, would be a 17.6 foot variance. Does that sound right, Mr. Churchman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
I don't know if Mr. Hastings had any more.
That's where I was trying to get to. Yep.
You have any more questions, Ms. Short?
I do, but I don't know if any other board members do. So when I look at the cases that you provided, Mr. Churchman, as I noted, the first three predated Vertilisons, but they are also significantly lesser variances than what's being sought here. The one from 2014 that you indicated was similar was for 2.5 and 3 foot variances, which is significantly less than what the applicant is seeking here. The one from 2021 was for a 10-foot variance for a proposed deck, that had to be elevated. In other words, the applicant had presented evidence that he couldn't do it at the ground level because there were issues with pests and being able to access it. So it was being raised up. It was not additional living space, so to speak. Is there any evidence of any other properties in this neighborhood that you're aware of that have gone out with, and the one from 2014 was for I believe a small addition, but anything that went to that extent?
No, so the cases provided were all that I was able to find. And as I mentioned, the first three weren't even on the county website. They were from the 2020 application.
And then the other thing that I look at was in looking at the one from the Staniluski case from 2020, I'm not sure the year, that property was 2,481 square feet, so slightly larger than what the applicant has, but not a great deal larger. But in looking at the map or the site plan, it appears that there's a significant amount of open space on the property as compared to what I'm looking at Mr. Motion's proposed site plan here, where it looks like a large part of this parcel is filled up with structures. Do you by chance do any, or have your surveyor do any calculations as to the amount of lot coverage that's going to be covered by these structures?
I will just say initially, as I stated previously, I believe that this is still pretty preliminary, so a lot has not been done, but I'll okay. direct that to the applicant for any further clarification.
Yeah, that's right.
So looking at your site plan that you provide here, I don't see on there an amount of the lot coverage. Do you have any idea how much of the lot, the percentage of the lots covered by structures as proposed?
Of my lot?
Yeah. The other thing that in looking at these, yours is at the end of the multi-units, correct? So you have a neighbor to your west and then another neighbor to your west. And I think one of the reasons the code has these separation distances is because they allow for the clustering of multifamily units in the HR2 district, which is a district, I think it's closed. Am I right, Ms. Norwood? We don't even have that anymore. And it allowed for that to happen where there was a clustering, but it also provided that there would be kind of a separation between other clustered groups. And I think the idea there is that would give some level of green space in the area. Do you have any concerns that if unit number 27, which is on the other side, decided to come closer to you, or that other neighbors tried to do something similar, that there might not be open space in that area?
Because unit 27 has already come over with a deck, so there are already existing structure there. Coming.
When was that deck put in?
I'm not sure, but there is a deck on unit 27 already. That's where my survey is being of the proposed addition is being drawn to. So they've come over already with their deck, and then on the corner behind us is a pond and a path that goes out to the Assawoma Canal, where it's all condo property. Nothing built on there at any point. And nothing really that can be done because of the proximity to the pond anyway.
Is there any flooding issues out there? So, because I see the edge of the water runs over into your property
yes.
line.
Yes.
So
yes.
You don't have any issues with water coming up?
No.
How about drainage in that area where your addition is, or in that space between you and the neighbor?
In the grass area right now, I do have a bit of drainage issues, but that would be something that I would look to.
Well, I if there's puddling in the, I mean, where would the water go if you have an impervious surface? Where would that water flow to?
Yeah, I mean,
is there a storm? Is there a swale?
It would be covered as well by the addition, so there wouldn't be water that would puddle down there anymore currently.
Well, I understand that, but it's still got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like we have a parking lot. It's the water's got to go somewhere. It's
yeah.
not going to go
I
down.
Mean, the flooding, it's not like it's terrible every time it rains. I mean, if there's very, very heavy rain quickly, and the ground is dry, it will puddle, but it also dissipates fairly quickly. We've already done some things to remedy it in the past in terms of rocks and all these other things that have gone away to remedy situation. That was all just very preliminary.
Yeah, I understand you're in the conceptual phase of this. I can understand, appreciate that.
If I may speak to that, Mr. Shaw, I believe that if that were an issue going forward, it would be addressed by any potential builder or contractor.
I can also just make one other point before you speak. I know you said a lot about there's a lot of other units and there's been less variances in terms of the move-in, you know, 2 feet, 3 feet here. The majority of the units in our development are larger units. They're 3 bedrooms, 2 bath. They're already 1,100 square feet. Mine is one of the smaller units. So I think that's a unique circumstance in terms of having a family home there within the smaller unit. And my specific circumstances provide the opportunity of addition on a side yard where a lot of the other existing structures either are clustered between structures or their existing structures off the back. There's not the same type of circumstances. So it's not like people are deciding not to do this for any reason. There's just not a lot of opportunity, and those units are also bigger, less of a need to expand.
You mentioned there's others that have larger units. Are they on lots that are of a similar size as yours, or are they larger lots? Because I think your attorney indicated that your lot is on the small end of the, I think it was like 2,000 square feet to 4,000 square feet.
In terms of the actual plot of land, I have one right next door to me that is a larger home that I would say the lot is smaller than mine, unit 25. It's just sandwiched in between my unit and another unit. My unit is smaller, but it has the side yard that is not available to a lot of the other units. Next to me doesn't have any yard. They have rocks in the front and the pond behind, but they do not have any side yard.
What's that area between you and the neighbor 27 used for?
Right,
I mean,
now?
Is it open space? Is it common area? Is
it's
it limited?
It's fenced in. I have a table, which
no,
is.
No, I meant outside your limited common area. Like beyond your property line that we see, is that unit 27 or is that common space that people can walk to the wall?
Unit 27.
All right.
They have some plants and natural area that they maintain as part of it.
And if I can speak to that, I believe they're not completely flush. I believe there might be a small sliver of common area between those two parcels, if I'm correct, but it's pretty minimal.
Yeah, I would think there would be something, otherwise the pads would just be running any the multi.
Yeah.
So okay.
There is no avenue for anybody to walk through though. It's completely.
And his fenced in too?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
Is that all your questions, Mr. Sharp?
It is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Does that conclude your presentation, sir?
Yes, if there are no more questions, that's all I got for today.
Thank you. Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Anything else from the board? At this time, I'll close the public hearing for case 13075 for Mr. Michael.
Motion.
I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we deny case number 13075 for Mr. Michael Motion. For the requested variances pending the final written decision based upon the record made during this public hearing for the following reasons. The property does not have a unique physical condition, which was created, as we've heard several times. We've got several cases to back that up, that, you know, this is the size of the addition and what have you is not met the criteria that's needed. The variance does not represent the minimum variances that could have been applied. He size it come out, and even with a reducing it down to 12 foot. This is a very large variance that they're asking for, so I do not believe it's met the criteria.
Second.
Motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Williamson?
Voting aye, and I also would like to add that this practical difficulty has been created by the applicant.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Lowengoth?
Aye, for my reasons.
And aye, too. A vote of 5-0, sir, your case is denied.